As we draw rapidly to the close of another year, I wonder what your feelings and your thoughts are about the past year and your hopes or fears for the year to come. But one thing's for certain, coming to the close of another year, we can do nothing better than to meet around God's word and hear what he has to say. There we can read how to live contented and joyful lives in all the chaos and uncertainties of this life. And this evening, we're going to reflect on an attitude that every believer in Jesus Christ can cultivate with the help of the Holy Spirit. It's an attitude that brings peace, joy, hope, and is a blessing to everyone we meet and know. I'm talking about thankfulness, as Paul referred to earlier. And you may have noticed that this word thankfulness appears three times in three verses. I'll read those verses again. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And after those verses, the Apostle Paul goes on to speak about living out a life of faith. And so we see in those few verses that thankfulness is to, as it were, permeate all that we think and do and say. But before we dive in to look at thankfulness, let's first of all just quickly scan through Colossians 3. Because in this chapter, Paul is turning away from what he's been dealing with in chapter 2, which is false teachers. They've been troubling the Colossian believers. But now he turns their attention back to Jesus Christ, who he's been speaking about in the first chapter. And he turns to the new life they have in him and how that new life is to be enjoyed and lived out. He lifts their, and therefore our, sight from the things that preoccupy and trouble us in this life to look at Jesus Christ. Today we know that Jesus is in heaven. He's in the place of supreme honor, glory, and power. And he is there using his power, using his position for our good. He is speaking for us as our advocate, and he sends the Holy Spirit to help us in our daily lives. We're encouraged to set our thoughts on Jesus and the promised inheritance we have in him. When Christ appears again, and he will appear in glory, and we will also appear with him. We have a future that is glorious beyond anything we can imagine. So having this hope, we're then encouraged to live lives consistent with our hope. You could say, by way of preparation for that future life. We do this by recognizing the things that displease our Saviour, who loves us and has given himself for us, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, getting rid of them from our lives. We are to be under no illusion, for God's wrath is coming upon all those who are unrepentant in their practice of sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. This is idolatry, as what it's doing, all these things, what they're doing is they're replacing God, they're pushing God out of our lives and coming in and replacing them at the centre of our lives. And before we became Christians, these were the things that occupied our thinking and our living. Paul goes on to say we are to put off our old ways, a bit like putting off an old, smelly and ragged coat. Anger, wrath, malice, slander and obscene talk are to be done away with, and we're to be honest with one another. We're to put on this new life that we have in Jesus, like putting on a beautiful new coat. Unlike the old smelly and ragged coat, this new self we have is being renewed. It doesn't grow old. And increasingly, we take on the likeness of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And the new life is characterized by some beautiful things, by compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with and forgiving each other. And we're above all to put on love that binds everything together in perfect harmony. In this new life in Christ, all the old barriers and hostilities of the world due to race or status are done away with as we recognize our fellow believers as brothers and sisters, members of the same family, members of our family, members of Christ's family. We're to experience the peace of Christ in our hearts and let it rule there. Now, this picture that we read of here in Colossians 3 of the new life in Christ, isn't it a lovely picture that's described? Don't we feel a yearning to be in such a society, to be treated that way by others? And don't we even feel the desire to be like that? Don't you like the idea of being dressed in a beautiful coat of righteousness? So how do we nurture such a way of living? Well, I would suggest four things, and there are many others, but just four things before we then focus on thankfulness. Well, first of all, see that these positive attitudes and behaviours are good, and it's good to cultivate them. Think about them, meditate upon them, admire them when you see them in others, and ask God to grow them in your life so that you'll be more like Jesus. Read the Bible, because you are then reading the mind and heart of Jesus. The words of the Bible are given out by the Holy Spirit and Jesus. They come from God. They're life-giving and refreshing. They're wisdom and lead to righteousness. Read how Jesus lived them out. I never cease to be amazed at what I read of how Jesus dealt with people, how he lived his life, and how wonderful that was. Seek to encourage others to do so with the word of God and in song, as these verses tell us. And another thing, let us seek to live our lives consciously and openly before God. Let us not live fearfully, trying to conceal sin and failure, but openly knowing the peace that comes from listening to and following Jesus. And do this with thankfulness in your heart towards God through Jesus Christ. So now let's focus on thankfulness. And we'll ask a few questions. First, why be thankful? I'll start off with a negative. Why? If you read Romans chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "For though they knew God, they did not honour him as God, or give thanks to him." Unthankfulness is a mark of an unbeliever. Now, this doesn't mean that non-Christians are all unthankful in every area of their life. But Romans teaches us quite clearly that God is displeased with those who are unthankful towards him, who do not thank him for all that he gives us richly to enjoy in this life, and reject him and decide to go their own way. Also, regarding thankfulness, there are many in the world who actually have good things to say about thankfulness. This last week, I looked up on the internet. If you do so, you can see sites like Positive Thinking, and they speak of the importance of thankfulness in our daily lives. For the sake of time, I've left out giving the quotes, but there's all sorts of quotes there from all sorts of people. There's quite a few of them influenced by Christian faith, by the Bible's teaching. But very positive and helpful things to be about thankfulness and how important it is life and how transformational thankfulness is. We as believers have so many more reasons to be thankful. The world will see thankfulness as something to do in order to benefit. But in the scriptures, we are given so many reasons to be thankful. And first of all, the first thing we say from Colossians 3 and verse 15 is that we're commanded to be thankful. This is not an optional extra in our Christian lives. But we're not left there just being told to be thankful and get on with it. We're given, here in Colossians 3, and in many other places, many reasons that we are to be grateful and thankful to God. In Hebrews 12 and 28, we read, "Therefore, let us be grateful, receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." So here, we're encouraged, and in many other places, to be grateful for our salvation. And to be grateful for the fact that we've been translated out of a kingdom of darkness and of evil into a kingdom of light and of salvation. We belong to a kingdom. In fact, we've got dual citizenship, haven't we? We're all citizens, I think probably here, all citizens of the UK. Maybe not everyone, but I think almost all of us. But if we're believers, we also have a citizenship in heaven. We belong to the kingdom of heaven. And that is a great and a glorious kingdom. In Timothy, we read that for everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving, for it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. In other words, God has set us in a glorious world. And you can read many psalms that rejoice in this wonderful world that God has set us in. Even though it's a fallen world, yet we know it is beautiful and there are many good things. And in our daily lives, God has given provision, food, clothing, housing, families, so many things. All of them have been given by God, and we're to receive them with thankfulness, not to be looking at others who may have more than us, others who seem to be getting on better than us, others who are not suffering the same challenges as we are, but rather to be thankful to God for what he's given us. But we can go on in 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. We read, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere." Sometimes we feel we're on the losing side in this country regarding the trends in society where the Christian voice is not listened to. But we need to see beyond that immediate situation and actually look more widely across the world. And also to realise that we are actually on the winning side. Christ is victorious. And there will be a coming day when we will be able to look back and see that we were truly on the winning side. Whatever pains, disappointments, and hardness we may be experiencing, we know that in Christ we have the victory. Present pains are worth it, as our reward in Christ is beyond our imagination. The Apostle Paul in Timothy writes, I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service. So in what we're called to do by God, and we're gifted to do by God, he gives us his strength by his Spirit to do what he's called us to. We're not left on our own. And then in 1 Chronicles 16:34 and the whole of Psalm 136, we're reminded of God's steadfast love for us, and that God is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. God is good in his being, and everything he does well. And all things work together for good for them that love God. And then earlier on in Colossians, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. So in that verse, we have several things, don't we? Forgiveness, redemption, translated us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, and also an inheritance uncorruptible, reserved in heaven for you and for I. In Christ, we know who we are, what our purpose and meaning in life is, and our glorious destiny. The world cannot give us these, but Jesus can and does. So, how are we to be thankful? How is that thankfulness to be shown? Well, going back to the first verse that we looked at in our previous section in Hebrews, through worship. And when we see worship in the New Testament, it's not just limiting it to our times together like here tonight. Certainly refers to those times of worship. But worship in the New Testament is speaking to every aspect of our daily lives, the way we live our life day by day. Brotherly love, hospitality, care for the weak and vulnerable in society. You'd read that on in Hebrews 13. And then in Philippians, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you feel anxious for anything tonight? I'm sure that many here do. That's the reality of life. But Christ says to us through his servant Paul, don't be anxious for everything, but pray, bring the needs before God, and do so with thanksgiving. So in our praying over our anxieties, even there we're to look for things that we can be thankful for, and that takes the edge off the anxiety. And earlier on in Colossians, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven. In this verse and in other verses in his letters, Paul expresses great thankfulness to God for fellow believers. Now, some of them have given him real grief and trouble, but even though they had, he was thankful for them because God had visited them and they were trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was happy and to work at great personal expense on their behalf in prayer and in thoughtfulness and in writing letters to help and encourage them, because he recognized that they were his brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're also to be thankful for one another. And if in our prayers for each other, even those we may find a bit awkward, if we are thankful, then that will help us in our relationships. And the Lord Jesus, he taught us to be thankful, didn't he? When he miraculously transformed those few fish and those few loaves on two occasions into food that fed thousands, he gave thanks. When he met with the disciples in the upper room, the Last Supper, he gave thanks. And we're to recognize that our daily food and all our daily needs are ultimately supplied by God. And it is to him we are to give thanks. And that really is an indication to us that we're to be thankful for all things that we receive. Above all, we have that amazing verse, "Thanks be to God for his inexpressible gift, Jesus." So all things are given by God and we're to receive them with thankfulness, but above all the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we're encouraged, "Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." So in our day-to-day lives, we are to walk in him, and we're to own him and recognize him in our daily lives. And in Timothy, Paul says, "First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people." And here there's a special mention of rulers, isn't there? So do you thank God? Do I thank God for our government, the chaos and the confusion that it's in? Well, we can be thankful that we have a society in which there is democracy. We can be thankful that evil is restrained. And we can be thankful for the freedoms that we have in Christ and pray for our rulers that they will govern wisely. What are the benefits of thankfulness? Well, we read in Colossians 3:15 about the peace of Christ ruling in our hearts. Thankfulness engenders peace. I've mentioned a verse in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, giving thanks for that inexpressible gift of the Lord Jesus. But in the preceding verses, Paul is encouraging the believers in Corinth to be generous in their giving. He does so telling them that their generosity towards fellow believers in need will result in thanksgiving to God. Those who receive the gifts will glorify God and will pray for the givers and long for them. In other words, we see a positive spiritual circle of blessing. Both giver and receiver of the gifts being blessed, and God being thanked and glorified. The gift of Jesus Christ motivates us to give. And I'm not just referring to money there, to be giving to others. Thankfulness is encouraging. It drives out negative trivia and actually helps us cope with serious issues. It takes us into heavenly places. It brings joy and hope and peace and leads us into thankful prayer and praise. So finally, when should I be thankful? In 1 Thessalonians we are told, in all circumstances. Now that doesn't necessarily mean for all circumstances. Remember a couple of instances in the New Testament. Firstly, Paul and Silas in a Philippian jail were praying and singing hymns after they'd been beaten and put in the most secure place of the prison. I'm sure they weren't thinking, hey, that beating was so great, I'm so thankful for it, I want another one tomorrow. No, they were there having suffered, but recognizing, just as the apostles did earlier in Acts, that they had been counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name of Jesus Christ. Yes, they were suffering, but there was something greater at work. They had been counted worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ, and they knew whatever happened in the immediate future and potentially death awaited them, they were safe, held by Jesus Christ. And if death was to come, it would be far better for them because they would be in his presence forevermore. I'm always reminded of a great pastor in Romania, Pastor Tom, who spent many years in prison under the communists because of his faith and his preaching. And it came a time when he was going to be released. And the commander of the prison came up to him and took out his gun, pointed it at his head. He said, recant or die. Pastor Tom smiled and said, go ahead, pull the trigger. It will be far better for me because I will be present with my Saviour. But God will raise up 1,000 better Pastor Tons to take on the work. And that is true for a believer. When should I be thankful? When God answers prayer. Now, it sort of took me back a little bit when I reflected on this, because I realized how easy it is for me to pray for something and then to receive it and just carry on, forgetting to be thankful. Remember the incident in Jesus' life where he raised Lazarus from the dead. He prayed to God, thanking God for what he was about to do, for the good of God's people, not just for the good of Lazarus, but for his followers. So, and then there was another occasion where 10 lepers came to Jesus and asked to be healed. They were all healed, but only one leper came back to give thanks. So, let us listen to what Jesus has to say and seek to remember to give thanks to God when he answers prayer. And finally, from Revelation, when should we be thankful? Forever. Because thankfulness is one of those things that continues on into heaven. We will eternally be grateful for God, for Jesus Christ, for the Holy Spirit. So let us get into practice now. And one of the things that a secular writer said, I think of three things to be thankful for in the morning, and three when I get up in the morning, and three things to be thankful for just before I go to bed. And how good secular advice that is, isn't it? For us as believers to listen to, because it's consistent with what the Word of God says. To remember with thankfulness God's greatness and His goodness and all that He gives us. And to rise in the day, at the beginning of a day, however tough it might be, with thankfulness. And to go to bed at the end of the day thinking of God's goodness and faithfulness to us, thinking of His steadfast love to us and being thankful. Well, may the Lord help us to be thankful in our lives. Amen.